Father, we give you the praise. Help us to decrease that you may increase so you can be the Lord of all. Already seen the visitation of God and the hand of God, and I believe that we will never be the same. In Jesus' name, give him the praise as you take your seat. It's our month of dedication unto dominion, and this month, today, once again welcome everyone to this service, both on ground and online. We will not leave you the same. In Jesus' name. Serving the Lord, true soul winning. Serving the Lord, true soul winning. And is our subject, our objective is first of all understanding what soul winning is about. And secondly, we shall be understanding the dividends of soul winning. In John chapter 15, verse 16, the Bible said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you." By way of introduction, which will be general for both services, there are five things we wanted to note. Six. Number one, every saved person was once a lost soul. Every saved person was once a lost soul. All of us. Romans 3:23 said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All, every one of us, every lost person was once a lost soul. Number two, every lost soul is doomed for eternity in hell. Every lost soul is doomed for eternity in hell. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 23, he said, "For the wages of sin is dead." That's eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe it was Psalm 9 and verse 17 that said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Every one of us, every saved person was once a lost soul. Every lost soul is doomed for eternity in hell. So, once, when you were lost, you were doomed for eternity in hell. And if you are still lost, you are doomed for eternity in hell until God saves you. Number three, God sent his son to die for the salvation of the lost. He sent his son to die for the salvation of the lost. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God sent his son to die for the salvation of the lost. Number four, everyone who receives the lordship, the sacrifice, and lordship, okay, let's do it like this. Every lost soul who receives the sacrifice and lordship of Christ in their lives becomes saved. Every lost soul who receives the sacrifice and the lordship of Jesus in their lives, for their lives, becomes saved, they become a new creature. In John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everyone who was lost and received Jesus into their lives, they become saved. They become saved. Number five, that is critical by introduction, is every saved soul is given the ministry of reconciling the lost to God. That is the crux of the matter. Every saved soul is given the ministry of reconciling the lost to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18 to 20, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ. So we were not saved to just sit in church and enjoy fellowship. We were not saved to see how much of prophecy we can receive in church. Every saved soul. Somebody said, do I have a ministry? Yes. It's not a ministry necessarily of placing a signboard or something. It is called the ministry of reconciling the lost to God. Everyone who is saved has this ministry of reconciling the lost to God. In your lifestyle, in your character, in your preaching, in your singing, in your teaching. One of my children says she has a vision of just sing, worship, bring down God's presence heavily and give an altar call. That is, whatever you do, every saved soul is given the ministry of reconciling the lost to God. And number six, God rewards the soul winner both in time and in eternity. Everyone who is committed to the winning of the lost has rewards with God. God rewards the soul winner both in time and in eternity. Hallelujah. You will not lose your reward. You will not lose your reward. Very, very quickly, what is soul winning all about? What are we trying to achieve? What do we want to do? Number one, our intention one is to bring God's purpose concerning man to pass. We win souls to bring God's purpose concerning man to pass. What is God's purpose? God created man for relationship. He created man for fellowship. He created man for intimacy, to bring God's purpose concerning man to pass. God created man for relationship, but sin brought a distance. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 to 2. The Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, so our assignment is to bridge that gap, to bring God's purpose to pass. Genesis 1:27, God made man in his image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The smoker, the drunkard, the womanizer, the masturbator, the thief, and the, and that person, that fraud, that dubious person, has a wide gap between him and God. Wanted to bring God's purpose concerning man to pass. Number two is to rescue mankind from the fallen state unto the realm of glory. The fallen state, this, that is the gloryless state. From the fallen state, man sinned and fell. To rescue man from that fallen state. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the man without Jesus has no glory. But in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we want to rescue man from that fallen state. To bring them to the realm where Christ can be in them and where they can have the hope of glory. Thirdly, what is soul winning aiming to achieve? Number three is to rescue man from the control and dominion of the devil. The control and domination of the devil. Every man or woman outside of Jesus is under the control and the domination of Satan. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 16. Romans 6, 16, the Bible said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Once people submit themselves to Satan, they become his servants. So our agenda in soul winning is to rescue man from the control and the domination of the devil. Number four is to bring meaning, worth, and value to human life and existence. To bring meaning, worth, and value. Life outside of Christ is meaningless. Life outside of Christ is worthless. Life outside of Christ is valueless. We try to introduce people to reconcile people with God in order to bring meaning, worth, value to human life. John chapter 10 verse 10 said, the thief cometh not to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To bring meaning, worth and value to man. And number five, it is to ensure that man benefits from the love of God throughout all eternity. Heaven is an expression of God's love for man. To ensure that man benefits from the love of God throughout all eternity. To our objective is to ensure that man does not miss heaven. Ensure that man benefits from the love of God throughout all eternity. Heaven was a creation of God's love. Hell was a creation of God's wrath, God's anger. Love. That is helping people not to miss heaven. You can put that in bracket at the end of that. Helping people not to miss heaven. In John chapter 14 verse 1 to 3, John chapter 14 verse 1 to 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may you be also. How will you feel? You made heaven and your friend made hell. Your best friend. How would you feel? You made heaven and a family member of yours made hell. How will you feel? You made heaven and your mother is in hell. No. No. So we are. That is what soul winning is about. Can we go over it again from number one?
First, to bring God's purpose concerning man to pass. Second, to rescue mankind from the falling state unto the realm of glory. Number four, to rescue man from the control and domination of the devil. Number four is to bring meaning, worth, and value to human life and existence. Number five is to ensure that man benefits from the love of God throughout all eternity, helping people not to miss heaven. In the second service, we shall look at another five of those points. But what are the dividends of soul winning? We are going to look at the life of Saul, the dividends of soul winning from the life of Saul. And then I will recap on what we did at the evangelism course this last week. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1, all the way to verse 6, if you read it, all right, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 first, you'll see that now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zero, the son of Bekorath, the son of Afiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man. Now, from verse 3, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul, take now one of thy servants with thee and arise, go seek the asses. This is what soul winning is all about. Going out to look for our father's lost sheep, lost flock. Our father's missing sheep. That was what the master said in Luke chapter 19 and in verse 10. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. And in John 17:18, he said, as thou hast sent me, even so have I sent them. So Jesus came to seek the lost. And as the Father sent him, he's sending us. Now, when Saul went to look for what his father's lost sheep or lost flock, what was his benefit? We saw it in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. That is from the life of Saul, the dividends of rescuing the lost from the life of Saul. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say unto you, the asses which you went to seek, they are found. And lo, thy father has left the care of the asses and sorroweth after for you, saying, what shall I do for my son, or what shall I do about my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet these three men going up to God, to Bethel. One carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bowl of wine. And they will salute you and give you two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. And after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe. And they have before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Many things happened to Saul just by one experience or one assignment of looking for his father's lost flock. What were the things that happened? Number one, the release of the anointing. Samuel poured oil on his head. The anointing. When you go after your father's lost flock, sheep, you can't do without the anointing. The anointing. Number two, the release of destiny. Saul stepped into his life's destiny. There are many things we are looking for in life that God has reserved for us as we go on the course of assignment. He was looking for the donkey, not knowing that he's actually a king. He was released into destiny. Number three, The release of command, authority, and royalty. Saul, anointed king. Is it not because the Lord has anointed you king? This guy stepped into command, stepped into authority, became royalty. There is a level of royalty, a level of honor you see when you go out for God. That's why some would like to kill themselves regarding certain servants of God, because they can't understand the reason for the honor, the reason for the realm of command, control, authority. They can't. It beats the imagination. Number four is the release of divine direction. Saul began to receive direction. When you live here, when you go here, when you go there, you will see this and you will see that. God begins to direct you the same way he directed Philip to join the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot. That direction begins to come in other areas of your life as you look out for your father's lost sheep. Number five is the release of favor and supernatural supplies. He said, when you leave me, you shall meet so and so kind of people here, carrying five loaves and wine and this and that, and they shall greet you and give you. We have seen testimonies of favor when people went out for evangelism. Somebody received a call right on the evangelism field about mobility, car. Six is the release of life's potentials. Saul never knew that there was prophecy in him until he went out to look for his father's missing donkeys. He never knew that there was a prophetic oil upon him. And as he went out and encountered Samuel anointed him. Saul began to prophesy with the prophets. There are great gifts inside you. There are graces inside you. I may not have the need for a healing ministry or deliverance ministry or prophetic ministry, except that I am out on assignment and God knows that this gift or grace is needed to reach these people. So he releases them. And number seven, the transformation of life. He said, you shall be turned into another man. The life of Saul was turned. Saul practically became turned into something else by going to look for his father's missing donkey. I think we have sat in church expecting things to change for too long. It is time, as we sit in church, to receive the fire. We go out on the street to win our friends, our loved ones, our family members, classmates. Many of us are on various WhatsApp platforms, and all we do there is to listen to stories and news and this and that. There are some of these things in this generation that are evangelistic platforms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see a new day for somebody. In the name that is above every name, as you go out on assignment in this season, I see a fresh anointing coming upon your life. If you are saying amen, say louder, amen. I see somebody stepping into destiny. Is there any person like that here? I see somebody stepping into authority, command, and royalty. I see somebody stepping into divine direction. I see somebody stepping into favor and supernatural supplies. I see somebody seeing the release of their life's potentials. And I see somebody stepping into a transformation of life. Until people see you and they cannot know you. Say a louder amen. In the evangelism course, the other day we saw dividends. What I just showed you is, as we can see from the life of Saul. But on a general note, what could be the dividends of soul winning? We saw that in the evangelism course the other day. First of all is divine presence.
You can, this, I'm just going to rush through this. Those who already passed through that course already saw this. And they went, and the Lord went with them. When you go out for God, he goes out with you. Mark 16:20. And they went, and the Lord went with them. In case you are confused, you can put this second one, dividends of evangelism, in bracket, generally. The first one, dividends of evangelism, in bracket, from the life of Saul. Right? And the Lord went with them. Number two, after divine presence, is supernatural manifestations. The Lord walking with them with signs and wonders. You begin to see healings, you begin to see miracles. You are not a pastor, you are just a member of church that is zealous for God, but you are seeing things. Supernatural manifestations, signs and wonders. Number three is spiritual authority. You command and you are obeyed. And the 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, the demons are subject to us through your name. Supernatural authority. Number four is divine preservation. While you are on assignment for me, you shall take up serpents. It shall not hurt you. You shall drink deadly things. It shall not harm you. That is, you are not wastable. You can't be killed just like that. Divine preservation. We saw this in the evangelism course last week. Number five is divine health and vitality. Anyone who brings forth fruit, he said, I will purge him. I want to make you healthy so you can be continuously useful. How many people can run the kind of schedule we run and survive it? Even if you are a soldier, whatever you are. Hallelujah. I want to give you divine health. I want to give you vitality. I want to remove weakness from you so that you can be on the assignment. Some of us, our healing is at the place of our service. Number six is answered prayer. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit may remain, so that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The prayer you are busy praying, God is saying, your answer is at the evangelism field. Number seven is supernatural supplies. We just saw that in the life of Saul. When I sent you without post or scrip, did you lack anything? And they said nothing. When I sent you, did you lack anything? They said nothing. When I sent you an assignment, there are needs that are tackled on the assignment. Listen, there is a connection between your assignment for God and your consignment from God. There is a connection between your assignment for God and your consignment from God. Number eight is divine wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. That is, God gives you electricity of mentality. Divine ideas, divine wisdom flow unusually. You handle things and people are wondering, how did you get to know how to handle things like this? Number nine is divine guidance and direction. We also saw that in the life of Saul. God begins to guide you. The Lord went with them, walking with them, directing them. And number 10, which is the most important, number 10 is joy and fulfillment. The 70 returned with joy. Winning the loss is a therapy for depression. Assignment for God is excitement in life. Joy and fulfillment. Number 11 is divine honor. He that waited on his master shall be honored. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them that bring good tidings. God gives you a level of honor that will shock you, that will shock friends and shock loved ones. Shock your contemporaries, and they are wondering, what did you do for God? Divine honor. And number 12 is eternal rewards. I am ready to be offered. All right, John 4:36, he said, he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. There are Christians who will arrive eternity empty-handed. But there are those who will arrive there loaded. Must I go an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him.
Must I empty-handed go, fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun? Thus would we pass from the earth and his toiling, only remembered for what we have done.
We'll be remembered for that. So, eternal rewards. If eternity is our end in heaven, then we must be mindful of how we end it, of what is awaiting us there. And that is the lives we have touched and the souls we have touched. I believe that this is a new day for somebody, and I believe we shall not lose our rewards. Can we stand up on our feet, everybody? Go on ahead and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the honor. Oh, are you clapping for the Lord? Right. Clap it very well for God. 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 Thank you, Master. Lift up your hands and let's worship him. Let's honor him. Let's adore him. Father, thank you for your word to me. 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 Thank you for your word to me today. Father, I give you the praise. Father, I give you the honor. Father, I give you the adoration. Father, I give you the worship. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. How many of us feel charged to do something for God? You feel charged to stop just sitting in church and expecting things. You feel charged. John F. Kennedy said, ask not yourself, what will America do for me? But ask, what can I do for America? Don't ask, let's not keep on struggling. What will God do for me? The question is, what will I do for God? What am I doing for God? What have I done for God? Hallelujah. Some of us, in the course of serving God, we don't have prayer requests, except the requests for other people. The things are handled before you ask. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and ask the Lord and say, Father, I come before you today. I ask
for your grace
and your mercy
and your help.
I ask for your grace and your mercy and your help to be a soul winner, to be on assignment for you, to be out in the rescue of the lost in my generation. I receive the grace. The Holy Ghost just placed a word in my heart this morning. It's like, save the lost at all cost. At all, whatever it costs you. Because it cost God his son to save the lost. The best he had was what he gave. The highest cost, God paid it. For God so loved the world and gave his only begotten son. Lord, I receive the grace to save the lost at all cost. Would you lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace to save the lost at all cost. I receive the grace and the mantle to save the lost at all cost. Go on ahead and open your mouth and pray for the next 30 seconds. I receive that grace to save the lost at all cost. The grace for the salvation and the rescue of the lost at all cost. I receive the grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace to save the lost at all costs. I receive it. 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 I receive it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You need to give your life to Jesus. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Pick your Bibles and your bags and quickly rush to the front here. Pick your Bibles, pick your bags and rush to the front here. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want today to mark a new day in your life. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags and rush to the front here. Let's go into singing while they come. I give you the count of 10. 1. While they are coming out, let's go ahead and quickly make the communion available.
That's right. Communion available. Quickly come forward here.
Let me be pleasing to
you. Let me be pleasing to
you. That's one reason.
That's one reason.
That is only for you. Nothing else is for the world. Nothing else is for the world.
Don't let anything delay you. When you hear a call of surrender and you know your life is not in order with Jesus, rush to the front. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? Also rush to the front. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? Rush to the front. You've done this before. You have an addiction in your life that needs to be broken. Rush to the front. I don't want to smoke anymore, drink anymore, womanize anymore. I don't want to cheat anymore. I don't want to deceive anymore. I don't want to lie anymore. I don't want to be fraudulent anymore. Run to the front. I'll give you the count of 10 again. Lord, I want to know you more. 1.
Lord, I want to know you more.
2.
Lord, I want to see. Lord, I want to do.
I want to know your way.
Oh.
Lord, I want to know you more.
I want to know you more.
See.
Lord, I want to see.
Lord, I want to do.
I want to do.
Lord, I want to live.
I want to live.
I have just one. I have just one life to live. And it must glorify you.
Lord, I want to do.
Lord, I want to do.
Lord, I want to live.
Lord, I want to live.
Lord, I want to know.
Ashata Kalabu.
Lord, I want to do.
Lord, I want to.